here last night for Kevin's lesson. He said it was all downhill after his lesson, but no, you're here after lunch. Digestion is working, so your blood is everywhere else by your brain. That's why they put the best teachers Saturday afternoon. See? Explain stressing Steve. I still got stuck here somehow. As we start talking about purity and we look at the title of the lesson, what is the key word, the title? It's out of four words, so it's a kind of out of three. I give you the in is not the key word in the title, but what is the key word in that title? Purity? How many think it's purity? A few. Some already asleep. Okay. Any other suggestions? Okay. How many think it's God? Okay. Yeah. God is definitely the key word. And God is the one around whom everything revolves, even in this lesson. And that actually helps us introduce purity because it's very connected to holiness. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Peter is writing his epistle. This has been written about almost 2,000 years ago, maybe 1,900 years ago or so, 1,950 years ago. But he's quoting something from the law of Moses, from Leviticus, which is about 3,500 years ago. And he says in verse 15, "Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" That's something that God says to the people of Israel in the wilderness 3,400 years ago. It's something that Peter again says about 2,000 years ago to the people that he's addressing his letter to. And it's something that has been valid for God's people since the beginning and is valid for God's people all the way until the Lord will come back. Be holy, for I am holy. It was a requirement. It was a requirement. And it is a requirement today. It hasn't changed. Holiness is strictly connected to purity. You know, we define holiness as, what is holiness? Anyone? Okay, being set apart? Well, any other definitions? Okay, yeah. That tells us what holiness is. It doesn't necessarily tell us how to get to it, right? You have to follow a certain process in order to get to be set apart, to be sanctified. Well, purity is one of the building blocks of holiness. Purity is one of the means by which you get to holiness. And that's why it is very important that we look at that. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, God says, "I am holy." And actually those ideas, holiness and purity, are repeated over and over in the scriptures, in the law of Moses, in the instructions to build the tabernacle, and again in the instructions to build the temple. If you look at just a passage there in 2 Chronicles chapter 4, 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 20 to 22, this is describing some of the furnishings in the temple. And just picking up in verse 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 20, "The lampstands with their lamps of pure gold to burn in front of the inner sanctuary in the way prescribed, the flowers, the lamps, and the tongs of gold, of purest gold, the snuffers of bowls and spoons, and the firepans of pure gold, and the entrance of the house, its inner doors, for the Holy of Holies, and the doors of the house that is of the nave of gold." Pure gold, gold, pure gold, gold. That gives us an idea of how glorious the temple was, but how special it was when it comes to purity. It was the house of God, so you use the best material you have and the purest material you have. For God is, holiness is present and purity is required. Purity is required because of God. When we think of purity, we think maybe, any suggestions when we think of purity? What is a lessons that you hear all the time that have to do with purity? Topics that you hear a lot that have to do with purity. You hear a lesson on purity? Is this your first time? Is that your first time you ever hear it? Okay, your heart. What else? Mind, okay. Even when it comes to sexual purity, I guess nobody wants to say that, huh? I'm just kidding. But purity is a whole, complete aspect of our lives. It's not just one single thing. It's not just a few things. It has to do with all our lives. Because God is holy. So we have to be pure. And then we see actually, you know, it's a theme that we see throughout our Bibles. We get to Exodus chapter 3, Moses encounters God. What does God tell him? Well, remove your sandals because you're on holy ground. And then you keep reading. Israel is not to touch the mountain when they come in the wilderness. God is coming on the mountain and gives specific directions. Do not touch the mountain. What happens if you touch the mountain? Die. Why? Okay? Because God is holy. That's why you die. Because you cannot just treat holiness just like anything else. You have to respect God's holiness. You have to respect God's boundaries. And you have to obey God. And then, the picture that is found in Daniel chapter 7, in that vision that Daniel has. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, it says, I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him. And myriads upon myriads were standing before him. And so on. The description of purity, of whiteness, of fire that cleanses. And then you get all the way back to Revelation, chapter 4, verse 8, and you read about the throne. And for the throne, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Holy, 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 forever and ever. So why purity? Because of our keyword, right? Remember the keyword? It was about 15 minutes ago when you were still awake. See, we are not to live just a little less filthy than how the world lives. We're not just walking one step behind everybody else. Oh, I'm not like them. That's not the standard. That's not how we're supposed to live. We're called to walk against the flow if necessary. When everybody says one thing and they're all going in one direction and promoting one agenda, which Sounds like the society we live in today. Well, I'm not just a little farther behind where they are heading. I'm just going the opposite way. Because I need to be holy. Because I need to be like my Heavenly Father who is perfect. Purity because really we reflect God's image. Remember when God said, let us make man in our image? And He created man and he was exactly in the image of God. And then in Genesis 3 you keep reading and sin comes along and destroys that image. It ruins it. It distorts it. What does sin do? Yeah, sin removes purity. Even the sacrifice of Jesus was necessary in order to reconcile that. And then we can have a relationship with God again, but it's not just automatic. It's not just, well, Christ died, we have a relationship with God again. We have to do something. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to be like God. We have to strive to regain that image in which we were created because that's the image of God. And it got broken because of sin, and now we have the opportunity to be like Him again. And that's where we are called to have a pure mindset. Be holy. We have been made to be like God. So we have to be like God. How many of you here speak Italian? Okay, that's kind of what I thought. How many of you speak Spanish? A little bit. How many of you speak Friulian? Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. See, if you were speaking any of those languages, and if I wasn't speaking English, which I'm not really, that would be your way to communicate with me. I speak a little Spanish. I grew up bilingual. There is this small language, in the region where I grew up. Maybe 500,000 people speaking it, and then I speak Italian as well. So if you were to speak Italian, you would be able to have a relationship with me if I didn't speak English. Well, with God, you have to speak holiness to have a relationship with Him, to be like Him. Because if you speak somebody's language, you're a little bit more like they are. That's why when we have filthy language, we're a little bit more like the world. And a little less like God. So we have to speak holiness. We have to speak purity in order to be more like God. But we're made to be like Him. So the big question, that's why you're all here for, how to become pure, how to honor God through purity. Well, the first thing, obviously, is realize where you stand. Know why I was chosen for this lesson now. Realize where I stand. See, if you look at yourselves and you look at yourselves with the mirror that you have in the scriptures, then you realize where you are. And really, that is a first step. It's just like when you're sick. No, I'm fine. Well, your arm is bleeding. No, it's okay. Well, your arm is bleeding profusely right now. Well, okay, let's go to the doctor. If you don't realize that, if you don't admit that you're sick, that something is wrong with you, then you'll never do anything about it. So if you don't realize your impurity, you'll do anything. You won't do anything about it. Just like Job 4:17. That's maybe a rhetorical question, but it's a good question to ask. Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before His Maker? Well, look at the standard. When you look at God, really, can you really be pure? Can you? Yes or no? How many yeses? You don't even have to talk. Just raise your hand if you're still awake. How many think that you can actually be pure as God is? How many think that you can't? Okay. Well, be perfect as your Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. So you can get very close to it. At least in this life, Jesus showed us that you can be as pure as God is because we were made to be like that. So we can be like that. Though, Romans 3:23, we're all sinners. That's why we really are not able to be like God. But we have to realize that. We have to really see that we are not where we should be when we look at the standard, the actual standard. Again, we're not walking behind everybody else just one step behind. We're really looking at the standard, God. Sin violates God's purpose in creating us in His image. I know some of you are in college, engineers. You're going to be designing different things. And some of the things that you'll design, I will have no clue how to use. Some I will have no clue they exist because they'll be top secret. But if the thing that you design doesn't work in the way that you want it to work, something is wrong with it. And that's what happened to us through sin. God's purpose for us was different than what sin caused our purpose for us to be. It just ruined that purpose. Sin violates God's nature through our unrighteousness. If you're reflecting who God is, if you're reflecting God's image and you sin, you're not giving justice to God, to who it is. If you're describing me to somebody else and you say, oh, it's not cool at all, you're not giving me justice. Because you're just doing something that is not true. Well, that was a bad example, I guess, but God is too pure to look upon sin, upon evil. He cannot look upon evil and just be fine with it. And also, as we realize our need for purity, we need to watch Satan because it's like the dog when you're about to give him food. He knows. And he knows when somebody's actually, oh, you know what? I need to do better this purity thing. I need to become more holy because God is holy. And Satan will be right there, ready to eat. You're going to be a target. Just like Tracy was saying, you may suffer because of Satan, because you're trying to do right. Especially in this world. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, there's a little thing there. I'm afraid that the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. But Satan will try to lead your mind astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That's his goal. And he'll try in several different ways. He'll just say, hey, you know what? You're better than most people. You don't need to do anything. Or maybe he'll say, oh, you know what? It'll be easier to climb Mount Everest than actually start working on this purity thing you just purpose in your heart now. Or maybe he'll just tell you, you'll never get there. May as well just live your life, focus on something else. Here, distraction. Work on this. That'll keep you busy instead of trying to become pure. So Satan will be targeting you as soon as you realize your need for purity. And I'll be right there. Well, how do we get purity? We establish that we need purity because we are not honoring God without it because of who God is, because of how God made us. So what are we going to do? Well, start from your heart. Obviously, it does not come on its own. It does not come overnight, not in this world. You're not going to go to bed and wake up pure tomorrow. Actually, if you don't do anything, you'll you'll wake up a lot worse than you went to bed, because things just get worse if you don't do anything about it. Try your flower bed or your garden. That's how it works. That's how your heart works too. If you don't do anything on it, the weeds will come and take over. Ezra actually purposed in his heart that he was gonna study and practice and teach what the Word of God said. He purposed in his heart that he was gonna do it. And as you study and you practice and then you're ready to teach, you're mastering what you're studying and practicing. Because for the other teachers that you are listening to for this weekend series, they really have mastered what they're teaching about. You cannot just stand and teach anybody if you haven't really prepared anything. Or you try, like me. And you have to guard your heart with all diligence. Because otherwise the weeds will take over. You really have to work on it. Work on it every day. You get purity from its source. And there's no other place that you should look at but the Bible itself. Why is that? Why do you think there's no other place, really, that you really need to look at? I mean, you can look at examples that you have at your churches of older people that are living, right? But ultimately, you're going to the source. Why is it? Okay? It is a standard, yes. Any other suggestion? Okay? So we would have anything that we need in it? Yeah. Can you think of anything else? Why we would look at the Bible for purity? That's what I thought about. God's Word reflects who God is. Just like when you read a book, you can see some of the author's experiences and character. When you look at a painting, you think, man, what were they thinking? Because all, you know, they're all a little, you know, some of them are beautiful and nice and you admire them, but you still see, you just pick up a Picasso and you see something about the painter when you look at it. Well, when you pick up the Bible, you see something about the character of who authored the Bible. The Bible, God's Word, reflects His character. And that's why we look at it. Because it's a standard, because God provided everything because of who God is. In fact, if you turn to Psalms, we'll just read, I guess, read them in order. So if you go to Psalm 12 in verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth refined seven times." And then the second part of verse 8 in Psalm 19, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Commandments of the Lord are pure." Everything that God says is pure. Because it reflects God's character. And then to get purity, you have to, again, change your focus. That's something that Tracy said. But you have to set your mind on the things above, the important things. Change your perspective. Don't focus too much on this life. Though we have to make choices, we have to plan for the future, we have to do several things. But focus on the ultimate goal. Flee immorality. That's another key. Whenever you start to pursue purity and you start work on your heart, on your mind, on how you live. That's one side of it. And then you have to flee immorality. It is necessary. If you go to Colossians chapter 3, which that's where the passage we were just mentioning comes from. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Then you skip down to verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. According to the image of the one who created him. That's what the new self looks like. That's what you need to work on. That's what I need to work on. And every time we look at God's word and we listen to God's word, we make fun of it, or we're not really listening to it, or we're not really purposing to practice it, or we just think anything else instead of focusing on it, you're doing great injustice to yourself and to God. Because you're not letting God helping you to be the way that He made you. You know, you could come to church and just sit in the pew and talk with your buddy. You could come to church and just sit there and play with your phone. You could come to church and just be there and your mind just being on whatever you're doing in the afternoon. Or you could really, you know, attend Bible studies and read your Bible. And you could also keep watching the same old movies, doing the same old things, not changing your speech, keep being disrespectful. That would be kind of a fake way to live Christianity. And really, again, you wouldn't give justice to yourself or to God. But by just doing what it looks like, it's enough. That's not going to cut it. Bare minimum Christianity doesn't exist. You cannot just do the bare minimum to get to heaven. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 37, well, let's start at verse 35. Matthew 22, 35. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. You shall love the Lord your God by doing the bare minimum. Relationship with God takes our whole self. There's no such a thing as a bare minimum in life. Fleeing immorality in and of itself is not enough. I was reviewing this lesson this morning, and I noticed that it said feeling immorality. So it was a little typo there. I'm glad it got fixed. Now they don't need to feel immorality. They need to flee immorality. But fleeing by itself, if you just run away from immorality, it's still not enough. It's only half of what Paul tells Timothy to do in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul is writing and he says, flee from your youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Flee, one thing. Pursue, the other thing. If you go to your garden, clean up all the weeds, and do nothing about it, wait 3 weeks, and the weeds are going to be back. You cannot just flee immorality. Because you're still not pure if you're just fleeing immorality. That's one of the important steps. But you have to fill yourself with something. And you have to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with all those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Fleeing immorality in the immoral world is really difficult. Especially when the world promotes and advocates immorality and calls it love, calls it marriage, calls it just about anything you can think of. That's not easy. That's why we really have to walk against the flow. But you know what? At least at this point in time, Corinth was tougher for those Christians. Just like Paul writes to the Corinthians, the town where not only there was a whole lot of idol worship, but idol worship was carried on through immorality. You were practicing immorality in order to worship your idols in Corinth. That's how bad it was. Flee immorality. Verse 18 of chapter 6. Every other sin that man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Flee immorality. It's not easy. Whenever the world promotes how you should live a relationship with your girlfriend by doing certain things, and again, with all the immorality that is just presented under all these other names and how people live immoral lives, flee immorality. And eventually, as you grow in your pursuit of purity, you don't have to flee immorality. You want to flee morality. Again, because your perspective is going to change. And you're going to look at this world and you're going to be a little bit less part of it. You're going to be speaking a little bit less of the language of the world. You're going to be a little bit different than what the world looks like. And you're going to change your heart and really let God change who you are. And you're going to strive and make it a point to actually try to be like Him. And the more you grow in that process, the more you want to grow in that process, and the less you want to have to do with the world. Yes, we are here, but one day we're not going to be here anymore, and we're going to want to be with God. But we have to start in that process. It's not going to happen by itself. We're going to be feeling like Lot, who was looking around and was seeing all this wickedness. And we can look around and see all this wickedness is going on today in society. And either you can be careless, or you can be sick about it. I would hope that if you're here today, you're not going to be promoting that. You can either be careless, or you're going to be sick about it. And you'll do something. So, you will change the perspective with which you look at this world. Because God will change your perspective if you let Him. You're trying to do a little more than just bare minimum. And Caleb, you'll just lead the song a little faster if I take much time. Keep working on it. That's the last really step of the process. You know, bare minimum Christianity doesn't exist. You cannot just get to the first step and be like, well, you know what? I feel good. I'm done. I'm pure now. No, you need to be working on it. cannot be satisfied with mediocrity. Because Satan is telling you, oh yeah, oh, that's, you're doing too much. We want to do whatever it takes to please God. We will want to do whatever it takes to please God. Just like Jesus says, if there is something that is in your way, as you try to make it to heaven, get rid of it. Remember, cut your hand off, pluck your eye out. Do whatever it takes. That's what Jesus is saying. Because heaven is worth it. Pleasing God is worth it. To keep working on it every day, it's an upward spiral. It keeps going and going and going. The more you work on it, the more you realize your lack of purity. The more you will purpose in your heart, in your mind, to actually pursue purity. The more you will spend time with God's Word. The more you'll grow. And the more you will want to grow. In the process, you can either look at other people and think you're better than them, or you can help them and encourage them. You're not cooler than everybody else. You're actually seeing opportunities to be a servant. There's plenty of around. You just look at it. Purity is especially important in the world we live in. As people turn away from God, as the world just goes its own way, everything is fine, you can do whatever you want. You can live however you want. You can marry whoever, whatever you want. Purity is of crucial importance. And ultimately, that's how you decide where you're going to be. And right now, you may think you have another 50, 60, 70 years to live. But one day, just like Tracy reminded us, we're all going to die if the Lord doesn't come back before that. Developing a proper relationship with God is really important. Really, this is not a step in the process. This is just the overarching process. This is the most important aspect of purity. Get to know God. If you don't know who somebody is, you don't know what they want, you don't know where they're from, you don't know how they spend their time, when, what hobby they have. You don't know where they live. And sometimes we think we know God, but we don't. Sometimes we think we are serving God, but we are not. We have to know God. Because really, if you take God out of the picture, no need for purity anymore. Purity doesn't make sense anymore because there is no standard anymore. There is no somebody to be like to anymore. God is the crucial point in our pursuit of purity. And as we grow in it, we'll honor Him more and more. Just like Jesus says in Matthew 5 verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. They will be with God. How can a young man keep his way pure? That's a question that he's asking Psalm 119 in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. And that's where all the process is based on. According to your word, you look at what God wants, you are going to be more like God because, again, this is reflecting His character. Purity is one of the building blocks of holiness. So to be more like God, you need to be more pure. You need to purpose in your heart to be more pure. You need to work on it. You need to flee immorality and pursue righteousness. We need to be like God because we were made to be like God. We will not function well if we are not trying to be like God. And we can finish by reading 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 through 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we'll be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. If you really hope, you will get to know God, and you will try to be as much as you can like Him. Appreciate your attention. Thank you.